Hejsan, Helle Stenkløv her. Høstgåven om alle klipatene spalt I Oslo nå nettopp, og Jernverket laget livepod med publikum. Men det opptaket gikk til helvete, så vi laget rett og slett et nytt intervju.
All right, so we fucked up, or the cables fucked up, so the live interview with Malakai Patan and Faust Cohen.
It went to hell as it should.
Yeah, it did. Or I think the audience liked it, but there is no proof of the interview ever being held.
Let's just say that we came across as incredibly articulate and intelligent people.
And this time it won't be that good.
No, yeah, it won't be.
The first time we were really deep.
Exactly, yes.
So we'll just do a quick one then. Tell me who you are and what you do in Fauskoven, Gunnar.
My name is Gunnar, as you say, and I'm basically doing almost everything in Fauskoven, except for playing drums when it comes to the studio albums and writing and so on. So production-wise, I do a lot of the stuff also. And live, I am only a humble guitarist. Mm.
And Adam, could you go and sit at this corner, maybe?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah. Perfect. And Adam, you're the brains behind Malakai Patan.
Nobody puts Adam in the corner.
So tell me a little bit about who you are and Malakai Patan,
yeah,
the band.
Basically, I'm the same kind of egomaniac as Gunnar. I'm just joking. Basically, the band started as my solo project, but it didn't last very long. So, yeah, I write the music, lyrics, everything, but I called up old friends to join up, and yeah, they do their own arrangements when I tell them it's okay.
Yeah, because you started by yourself, Gunnar, writing all the songs, all the lyrics, and can you tell us a little bit about the Fauskoven music?
It's a combination of doom metal and black metal, but more in the vein of the 70s doom, 80s doom, and an 80s, early 90s black metal, I would say. So think Bathory and Darkthrone for the black metal, and think Black Sabbath and Candlemass for the doom part. So it started just as the idea to combine those two genres, because I thought that was actually something that was just waiting to be done. Mm.
What about your music, Adam? I understand that both of you had the feeling that nobody would like what you were doing, except maybe two friends.
Yeah, for me, it's because the country I come from is not really hot on this style. we're basically outsiders, even though we're kind of moderately successful. But yeah, it's not the style that people usually listen to in our country. Yeah, for me, I think we play black metal the way it was before. There was like a standard image of the sound for people, like a cliche. During the 80s and the early 90s, like every band had its own sound, basically. That's what we try to do. And the people have to decide how much we are successful with that. But I hope we are at least slightly.
Yeah, I very much agree with that. In the 80s, you didn't have this very set kind of genres or this very strong distinction between death metal and black metal, and it was all sort of a mix of these more extreme genres. And
even heavy metal.
Yeah, exactly.
With Merciful Fate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree with that, and it's also the same. Yeah, the same approach I'm thinking about. I'm really not thinking, is this riff a black metal riff or a doom metal riff or a death metal riff?
Mm.
Is it a good riff? That's the only question I need to ask, I think.
Yeah, and an answer, of course.
Black metal is an atmosphere, and it's the lyrical concept, basically. Mm-hmm. And you can make whatever you can out of that, I think.
Mm.
At least when it's still metal and it's still using satanic or dark themes.
Mm. And at least Malakai Patan is using sound samples or making up horror movie stuff and using weird instruments. Can you tell me a little bit about the use of non-black metal things?
Yeah, I'm a big movie fan, so I always try to make up like a cinematic atmosphere. And most often it's just movie samples, but sometimes we do it ourselves, like I have a collection of all kinds of weird percussion instruments and that kind of stuff. And sometimes we just put the stuff together and mix it with some, I don't know, field recording samples to create, a cinematic atmosphere. But we never put it, or almost never put it inside the songs. It's always like just intermezzos or intros to set up the mood.
Hmm. What about Fuskoven? Have you ever considered using something not typical in the instrument I don't know how to put this anymore because we don't have much time.
Well, regarding instrumentation, I think, you know, that the template from the 80s bands that were very riff-based but more free-form in terms of what kind of style they were playing, it more dictates the music style. But I'm not averse to trying a few different things, like the last album had the harmonica. If it fits, you know, if it fits, then you do it. You don't do it just to do it.
Mm. You're both big fans of horror movies,
yes.
I understand.
Yeah.
And there's supposed to be a lot of cool horror movies from the Czechoslovakian era. Can you give us a few tips, Adam?
Yeah, a lot of it's not really horror movies per se. Like, it's always overlapping genres because we had a strong censorship during the communist days. So there were things you couldn't really do. Like, they would lock up the movie and it never got out. But for the ones that at least have English subtitles, I would recommend Cremator, Valerie and Her Week of Wonders, and Witch Hammer.
What about Norwegian ones? There aren't many old horror movies here, except...
No, Norway has always been very averse to making genre movies, you might say, and horror has not been a big part of Norwegian cinematic history. But as I mentioned earlier, I had managed to convince Adam to watch the only old-style Norwegian horror movie I could think of. The Dødestjern, yes, mm-hmm. The Lake of the Dead.
Try to pronounce it correctly.
yeah, as I told him, I'm expecting a song on that. Maybe not the next, but the album after that about it.
Yeah, it was quite intense, yeah. Enjoyed it.
So. It's a good movie. Yeah,
yeah, so I would be interested in how the Slovakian villager would react to the Dødestjern, because you're writing your lyrics from the view of a simple
spectator.
What about Fuskoven, your lyrics? Can you give us a short insight?
Yeah, it's inspired by a lot of the similar themes and topics as Malokarpatan, though obviously not about the Slovakian folk belief, but folk horror and the old style horror movies. And when I'm saying old style, I'm putting sort of a hard limit around the time of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so everything before that is legitimate old style horror. But yes, and the songs are a little bit varying in perspective, but we talked about one thing earlier, or Adam mentioned about the spectator or the protagonist actually believing in this,
making
actually
him
being
human.
Scared. Actually being in danger. Yeah. And I think this being in danger is an important part of it. I mean, if it just ends with somebody sitting on the throne of the devil and crowning themselves the king of the world, it can be empowering, but it's also, it doesn't feel scary, it doesn't feel dangerous.
Mm. But how do you put yourself in this fear? Do you use your personal feelings, or just to get this out in the lyrics, or... Is it like easy peasy? I'll just write this and it feels okay. Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, for me, oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, like we talked before, basically it stems from my personal beliefs. Like, I'm a spiritual person, but I don't want to be in character. I don't want to be this, the guy who sits on the evil throne. I just want to make the, like the Black Sabbath song, where the narrator, being a narrator is my thing, like. It makes you feel human, it makes you feel more like you can be scared.
And we talked about this during the live podcast that went straight to hell, that you're not a believer at all, Gunnar, but this doesn't add up with the lyrical themes you're trying to show people. It's not like science is working very good in Doom.
No, you will not be helped by science in my songs, but the thing is that I am a storyteller primarily when I write songs, and I don't believe very strongly in that you should walk the walk and talk the talk and only say what you believe in your lyrics. It's more about creating an atmosphere. It's in the same way I would never demand that Stephen King actually is Cujo or actually is the clown from It. You try to create an atmosphere, and then you may put some of your personal ideas in there, but that's more a subtext. That's not the main thing, I think. The main thing is to build a world that the listener can go into.
Okay. I think a lot of the people from the 80s black metal bands were not exactly religious believers, but still the music they make has it's more powerful than a lot of made by people who actually believe what they say, which I don't say like it's a bad thing to do. I myself am spiritual, like I said, but yeah, it depends how much you can conjure up the atmosphere, basically.
And I think Gunnar has to run soon because Faustkoven is the first band on. But before that, I'll take the quick questions again, even though you know the answers now. I'm going to hold you here for a little while still, Adam. But if you now get two different choices and you have to say which choice you want to make at once, without thinking. So, priest or maiden?
Priest.
Judas Priest.
Yes. it's my second favorite band after Black Sabbath, so it's the obvious answer for me.
And what about denim or leather?
I mean, leather is cool as well, but it has to be denim.
Yeah, for me too.
Leather is for, not on me. For tasteless Germans.
Yeah. And Judas Priest. But I am not.
Yeah, but
Judas
they
Priest.
Do it well.
Yeah. Yeah,
not everyone looks good in leather pants. And if someone were to make covers of your songs, but you could choose the instrument, and it would either be pan flute or the accordion, what would you choose, Gunnar?
I choose the accordion because it's a cruel and unusual punishment, so that's more in my style.
Pan flute for me because I grew up in the 90s, and when I was allowed to stay a bit late at night and I saw some erotic movies, they always had pan flute soundtracks.
Happy days.
I don't know if pan flute is as sexy as the saxophone, but yeah, that's too easy, you know. And we were quickly talking about Spinal Tap stories, and you, Gunnar, claimed that you didn't have any, but weren't you supposed to fix the accommodations for Malakar Patan?
Yeah, I did, for one night, but, well, they wanted two, so they were a little bit greedy, I think. They stayed two nights here and wanted two nights of accommodation, you know, that's, I think it's a little bit over the top. But
So what did you do yesterday when you didn't have any place to sleep?
Yeah, we got it, because Gunnar was generous enough. Yeah, and my idea was to get some sleep, but wasn't really supported by the other guitar player. So he brought a bottle of Jack Daniels and played us Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue, even though we were just all men in the room. That's how it goes in black metal.
Yeah, I forgot to ask one question. Do you remember when you first heard about each other and what you thought? Because I've seen that both Malakar Patan and Faustkoven have been talking about each other in interviews.
Yes, I remember hearing about them on the Nuclear War Now board, but my capacity to check out new music isn't that great. So when the second album came out, then I had the opportunity, and I really like it. For me, it's one of the top 10 black metal albums of the last 20 years. So perfect in style. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Malakar Patan, so happy to play a gig with them today.
Nice.
Yeah, for me, as far as I remember, it was also the second Faustkoven album, and most likely it was online, yeah. I can't remember the exact source, maybe someone recommended to me, or YouTube, whatever. Yeah, and I think they're one of the few bands in Norway these days, within the black metal genre, that still have their totally own thing. That's a really important thing for me. Like, they have their totally own vision, style, everything, that works for me best in this genre. So that's what attracted me to their music right away.
Thanks.
But if you weren't to leave to play a show now, Gunnar, what would you go home and put on your stereo?
Oh, there's a couple of albums that's always evergreen for me. For example, Crystal Logic by Manila Road. It's the only album that I can always put on. It makes me feel like I'm 10 years old again. And you also have, for example, Awaken the Guardian by Fate's Warning. I just never get tired of that.
And Adam, you already listened to some Motley Crue, but maybe you have some more favorites?
Yeah, I'm very mood-oriented. Like, whatever I feel is right, I'll put on. One of my favorite bands, which people probably don't know, is Gentle Giant. They're like very nerdy prog band from the 70s. I love them. you can't really hear that in our music much. There's like this very often a choice, but yeah, lately I've been listening to the old Czechoslovakian bands a lot, because when I was younger I didn't really listen to it that much. Like when you come from the area, you don't see it from the distance. Now when I got older, I finally understood what sets it apart. So I've been kind of diving into that sound with the knowledge I have now instead of when I was younger.
So give us a few tips of Czechoslovakian and Slovakian bands, both old and new.
Yeah, from new ones it's really easy from Slovakia because not much good thing happening. Goldcraft and the Radiation, I would recommend this. And also Demolizer, it's the same people basically. It's like old school black trash death metal. Yeah, and I've been listening to, we had like two bands that were like pioneers of black metal in Slovakia. One is Toxic Trash, you can find it on YouTube at least. The other one is Necrotos, but it's not online unfortunately. Other than that, yeah, everyone knows Master's Hammer, Root, Thor and those bands. From the lesser known, I would say Fata Morgana from Czech Republic. It's like Venom, Merciful Fate kind of black metal. A rare style in a way.
Okay, but then I will have to leave and
thank you very much for doing another interview.
Yeah, yeah.
But shit happens.
Yeah.
And probably all good things make three, isn't that?
Then we'll have to talk after the concert. So
no, the gig will be good then.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, although
thank
I'm
you,
not a believer.
Thank you very much, Gunnar, and good luck.
Thank you.
Break luck.
You can break two.
And more limbs.
Okay.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
So, I guess you would have to go soon, too, because the doors are opening at 9.
I have no idea when is my time to go.
Yeah, yeah. This is like so typical, but in life situation.
There's a Spinal Tap moment.
Yeah, yes.
Where's the backstage?
And yeah, I remember I did the same fault with Borknagar like 8 or 9 years ago. Poor things. The battery went out. The interview was there, but the recorder, it didn't store anything if the battery went out. So.
I love their debut album. It's one of my favorites.
God, yeah, yeah.
Not many bands today can play this style, I would say. Not even in Norway, which is weird. Why don't more people play this style?
Because it's difficult.
It is, yeah, you have
yeah.
to be good.
It,
I would just expect more bands doing it.
Yeah, they're doing a new
everything
album
is,
now.
Everything
so.
Has a retro wave now, but nobody sounds like Ferenc Borknagar.
No, they don't. And
some bands like Come Close, but yeah.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed.
It's probably something with the vocals, because I've noticed the last few years, or probably the last 25 years, that people are afraid to sing with a clean voice.
Because they can't, like me.
Yeah, you think so, but where did all the good vocalists in the 80s and the 70s come from?
I think it's because metal was bigger at the time, and it attracted a wider variety of people. And nowadays it's almost an underground thing, and you only get the people who have the spirit, but don't always necessarily have the skills. That's always a big thing.
And rehearsing is boring.
And yeah, I hate rehearsing myself. That's rehearsals.
But you had a fun Spinal Tap story while we were downstairs. Now we're sitting in a cold, cold office of Kniven, and we can hear the party downstairs.
Yeah, it feels Norwegian here.
Yeah. So, yeah, could you tell us that story again? Or
yeah,
me?
It was always with our previous singer. He's an old guy. Before I said he's 47, he's actually 46. I have to apologize to him officially now.
Yeah, but
now that it makes a lot of difference.
He will never hear the original anyway.
I think he's the same age like Varg Vikernes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but one of my favorites was like we played in Poland and we came to the place we were staying at overnight, and he was really drunk. Like, yeah, that's the thing for him to do after gigs. And he tried to climb up a wardrobe, which he thought is a bunk bed. Ended up not being a bunk bed, and he smashed it, so we had to pay for it. But it was in Poland, so at least it wasn't too expensive. In Norway, it would be worse.
Yeah, probably. But actually, This is a thing I've seen for every country you're in. There's always a neighboring country that is cheaper. Like Norwegians, yeah. they go shopping in Sweden, and Swedes go to
for
Denmark.
For us, it's obviously Ukraine.
Yeah, because Polaks were shopping in Slovakia, I could see. Or at least they were on vacation there.
Yeah, I don't know how it's with. It's pretty similar with us in Poland, but Ukraine is really cheap, yeah.
Where are Ukrainians going?
To Poland.
So back again. Yeah, I've been to Slovakia once. I was in Bratislava and in in Poprad.
Yeah, I'm a like local patriot, but Bratislava is not really nice, I would say, generally.
Oh, I liked it.
Poprad has the mountains and everything.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And they had the bobsleigh in the Tatra bob.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite part. So we've done this really like intensely, so it feels like we already talked about everything, but we made it really short.
Yeah.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about your lyrical themes, since we can't understand Slovakian or we can't pronounce it either. How do you say Stridzie dni?
Stridzie dni.
Strigie dni.
Actually, Jonathan from Folskoven can say it.
Strigie dni.
Yeah, it's like the witching days in translated. I always make sure to put up English translations both in the booklets, and it's also on Metal Archives. I don't know who put it there, but it's there. And on our Bandcamp page. Because for me, as a fan of a lot of bands who sing in non-English languages, I'm always frustrated when I can't understand. So I make sure to not do that thing myself. It's basically our folklore, the darker parts of it, of course, because of the genre. I think Norway was a good setter of standards for this. Like, a lot of the 90s bands explored all the... Ulver were really good at that, on Bergtat especially. And in our case, it's basically the same, like, the dark parts of our folklore. Sometimes it's really similar to Norwegian, I would say. We don't have trolls, but the themes are similar.
Yeah, but you get nymphs and gnomes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I get a feeling that everything comes... We know that the human race probably wander from about the same area. And maybe already then a lot of these things
were.
And then they just wandered and changed their names.
Yeah.
Depending on where...
Yeah, sometimes you see it even in, I don't know, African, American countries, South American.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like something really ancient and primordial.
And Slovakia, too, has the mountains and the forests.
Yeah, it's similar to Norway in that regard, but it's only some parts of the country, not as much as in Norway, because it's a smaller territory.
Mm-hmm.
For example, where we come from, it's not as cool, nature-wise.
But you started quite early writing your own songs, so the first album is mostly like a collection of songs you've written throughout the years.
Yeah, like a mixtape almost. I played in different bands, and the other guys also did. I like a lot of different music, but as I grow older, I always listen to 80s stuff more, and early 90s, because it's just the best music. I mean, that's the logical reasoning for that. And I had these songs since, the earlier ones are from, I think, 2002 and 2003. I was like 15, 16 at the time. And we had just really amateurish demo versions of those, which I'm glad not many people have heard. It's not really so good. But yeah, but the riffs are there, yeah. And I've been doing different things musically. It's always like, it was always metal and basically black metal, but... I felt like, I should finally make something in this style because, the older I grow, the more I listen to that stuff. So I thought, let's do this now or never.
Mm.
So I collected the old songs and made some new stuff. Basically, even the new stuff wasn't that new. It's like I had it for at least 1 year before. I just called up two old friends. And we made the album in, I don't know, a couple of weeks, basically. Except the vocals, that took longer.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, it was no ambitions whatsoever. I'm still shocked that people like it outside of our area.
But it is different since you're using sounds that aren't that I don't know if you can, maybe you can compare it a little bit to even though they might be a Nazi band, I don't know, but Nocturnal Mortuum, they also use the soundscapes. Yeah, they do. And,
I don't really like their music at all, but some of the Ukrainian instruments are similar because it's not the same area, but it's in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, that's what I think, the use of instruments, because that's also different from the Nordic black or darker metal bands.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
It's a cultural thing, yeah. Actually, I don't really like the way those kinds of bands use it. I hate folk metal, and especially the Eastern one, I have to say.
So you're not a big listener of like Equilibrium and Enciferum and...
it's terrible. I like folk music itself, but when combined with metal, it almost never works.
So Vardruna, that's have you heard that?
I don't know. I, of course, it's very well known, but I haven't really listened to it that much. I love Isengard and Storm.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. Skyclad.
Agreed.
Everything else is terrible. in our music, it's only intros and intermezzos most of the time. So I don't like to. Yeah, it has to be metal.
Mm. I really like that it is in Slovakian too, and that I can't understand it because it creates another dimension, and your fantasy can, I don't know, walk along the trails instead of just knowing what's happening at once.
It's just doing I'm just doing the thing I like to hear myself as a music fan, for music to take me to different places.
Hmm.
So if we manage that with our music, that's perfect for me.
Hmm.
Is for the people to decide, yeah.
And even the art on your albums follows up on the music, like on especially on the Nordkamp Karpatenland.
Yeah.
You can see the story unfold on the cover.
It was done by, his name is David Glomba, but maybe people know him as Staten Art. He did stuff for a lot of bands, Svartidauði, Cult of Fire. A lot of bands, and he's a Slovakian guy actually, so he knows all the mythology and the background stuff as much as we do, because he's from the same area.
Hmm.
So I just sent him some basic themes, and I gave him a lot of freedom to what to do with that. It's both a description of what happens in the album lyrically, and it's also his thing he added.
Hmm. Yeah, that's so I think we've actually gone through most of the stuff I had in the beginning, but it feels different when you already talked through it one time.
Yeah.
It seems maybe we forgot things even, but
yeah, we just always have to say we were a lot smarter and deeper on the first time.
Of course, and more fun.
Nobody will hear that. And more fun as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we were, because
we
had
don't have the background heckling now.
No audience laughing or clapping or. And there were some audience questions too, but they were mostly from Faust Coven's...
to themselves.
Yeah, and people not liking other stuff than Judas Priest, but I guess we're okay with that.
Yeah, if people like Judas Priest, they're my friends. Could be anyone.
But what are the plans of Mollekarpata now? I know that you've already written your third album.
Yeah, the newest... we have some gigs and all that stuff. But musically, we have a new EP coming out in, I think, early April. It's basically old stuff. It's from, if I remember correctly, 2017. We did a kind of a festival in Germany, a small one, where the organizers, they always do this like special split tape release.
Mm.
So we did that for it, but not many people have heard it because it was just a limited release. And people were writing me like we should put it out or whatever. So I put it out on our Bandcamp, and then I got contacted by Sun and Moon Records from Romania, actually from Transylvania. They're from
that's
the part,
cool.
Yeah. And they had a really great job on the design with some kind of designer guy they have. So it gave the material some kind of a new depth, I would say. So actually, I didn't have big plans with it, but now I'm looking forward to it because it looks really great. Yeah, and after that, I have the third album basically all complete from the writer's point of view. I just have to wait for the drummer to come up with his parts, and yeah, that's the worst part.
Yeah, what's up with drummers being slow?
Even Spinal Tap always had problem with drummers, and everyone does. No, he's a cool guy, I can't say that, but yeah.
But the drummers, they're always in like 100 bands because there's so few of them.
Yeah, same with him, because we are a small country and yeah, more people need his skills.
Yeah, it's the same here.
So I'm hoping to record it at least in autumn this year.
Hmm.
I'm hoping earlier, but yeah, realistically, autumn.
But are you thinking about any guest stars at this album? I know you had a few on the last album.
Yeah, I have some ideas, but I can't say because I don't know how much realistic it will be in the end. But yeah, on Nordkalottland, we had Annick Giroux from Koshamar. She's just a person I really like. I respect her a lot. Generally, she has extremely deep knowledge of metal, which yeah, most guys I know totally suck compared to her. And we both like each other's bands. I like Koshamar a lot, and she likes our music. It was kind of a logical choice. I just wanted to put some more extra atmospheric moments to the album, which would be outside of the band, like a different perspective. So it's, yeah, it's her, and yeah, best name ever in metal, Necrocock from Master's Hammer. Yeah, he's an amazing guy. I think people outside of Czech Republic and Slovakia don't know him that much. I would recommend checking his YouTube channel with his video clips. It's amazing. Yeah, he's a really colorful character. He's like a 19th century dandy, kind of perverted aristocrat guy. He's really unique. Yeah, and he was like, of course, we all love Master's Armor.
Hmm.
And I was thinking, he has a very weird, unique voice. So I was thinking he could add something. Yeah, we were lucky enough. Like he said, yeah, if I like the music, I will do it. So I sent him a demo and he did. So yeah, I'm very happy.
But if you were to pick like a dream person or artist to cooperate with, but you know that it probably would never happen, who would that be?
That's really difficult, but I would say Michael Denner, but it would just show like I'm so much inferior to him as a guitar player, even when I rip him off. Yeah, he's the best.
So there's Michael, could you just do this whole album for me, please?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't ask him because he would find out I rip him off all the time.
Maybe he would be honored and just do it.
Yeah, he seems to be a cool guy. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I never met him, but yeah, I got the impression that he's a
The negative playing guys met him recently in Denmark. Like, they're good friends of ours, and they said he was extremely cool guy.
Yeah, negative playing is a good bunch of guys.
Yeah, from the bands we know, like, basically our best friends.
You also told me that you have had some good friends in Finland.
Fuck, that was my SMS. Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's okay. We could...
Yeah. Finnish people are really weird in a cool way, which I am... I don't know if a cool way, but yeah. I don't get along with certain types of people. And Finnish people are like, yeah, when I am among them, I feel normal, which is unique.
That says so much.
So I like to hang around with them. Yeah, and I love Chevalier, the band from Finland.
Hmm.
I think, there might be my favorite, I don't know how to say, new band, yeah, in metal generally nowadays.
Yeah, so for our Finnish listeners, I'm half Finnish, so I'm allowed to say this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vitu Paska.
Yeah, definitely. So you probably have to go soon too, because it's
I have no idea about you, might be right.
Yeah, since you're getting messages and all, maybe your band's nervous. Where is
Adam? I'll check later.
So any famous last words to the hordes that were? Yeah, you should say something to the people that actually listened to us and that came to Kniven. The other one, they can just go fuck themselves. They didn't come.
I don't know. Should it be in Slovakian?
Yeah, why not? Thank you for coming to the people that came, and sorry for this not being the exact same thing you heard then. But to the others hearing this for the first time, doesn't matter. This was cool too. And Slovakian?
Yeah. Of course, now I forgot all of the sentence. But...
No, you don't have to say the same thing as me. Nobody would understand.
Ďakujeme vám všetkým, kurva, suka, bľad.
What does that mean? mean?
No, it's actually Russian. But we say kurva all over the Slavic world, even in Hungary.
Kurva.
It's like, yeah, fuck.
Yeah, okay, fuck, kurva. Okay, thanks a lot.
Tusen takk.
Du har hørt et intervju med Malakai Patan og Faust Koven, som spilte I Oslo tidligere I mars. Neste vecka skal vi bli bedre kjent med Mork, som svanger med ny plat.
Så det som skjer at Mork flyr bort som en trio, bassist og to gitarrister, og dro på turné med trommeslager I form av en USB-pen I en laptop,
Nei.
Plugget inn I miksepulten.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Du må gjerne gi podcasten full pott på plattformen du bruker, sånn stiger den på podcastlistene og spres ut til folket. Og det gjør meg glad og selvsagt. Dessuten Jernverket på jakt etter nye samarbeidspartnere. Hvis du vil annonsere via podcast, kan du sende meg en melding. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for månedens album fra Katakomben, diskusjoner, konkurranser og nyheter. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Snakkes!